Before we start, I'd like to read from Luke chapter 22, the passage that I have here. And it's verses 14 to verse 20. I'm reading this because it reminds me very much of the meal that Jesus, it was his last meal, also called the Last Supper. This is the meal that he had with his disciples before he was taken away from them. I'm going to read from verse 14 of chapter 22, Luke 22, verse 14. It says, "When the hour had come, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for the food that's before us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the fellowship that we have with one another. Thank you, God, for the small groups that we have. Thank you, God, for our community groups that we have. Thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy with one another. Thank you for the live stream that other people can come and fellowship with us. Thank you for the communion that we come together because of your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fellowship that we have with you. Thank you, God, that we are able to fellowship with you and get to know you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we pray that you unite us with Jesus. I pray that we remember what you did for us through communion, and that we are united together in that. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to pray for David, Father, as he speaks this morning. I pray, Father, that you will bless him, bless every word that comes out of his mouth. Let it be completely directed at your flock. I pray, Lord, that we can together find peace at the table, peace at communion, that together we can find healing, together we can find freedom, and that together, through the words that will be being preached today, that together we can find that we have salvation because of Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for all that there is, for all that gets opened up because of this communion. We honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. I pray also, Lord God, that you bless David in every way for his preparation. I honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Max and the family. It's so great to see everyone and to be back. Thank you for this opportunity to just share with you, and thank you for your prayers, Max and the family. We're going to look at a verse that comes in John 13:35, and it's in the context of that meal that Max was reading about and modeling for us there. It's a verse that Jesus shares after that meal as he's meeting with his disciples, and it's just one verse, and this is what it says. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let me read it again, and I'm going to read it just with the verse beforehand as well. This is what Jesus says. He says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then our text for this morning, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So, Lord, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Come and help us to apply the things you're saying to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as we talk about the joy of being together, I actually want to start by acknowledging the challenge that we're increasingly become aware of during these months of lockdown, and that is the pain of loneliness and isolation. You know, lockdown gave many a glimpse of a problem that was already a massive issue in the UK. The Independent newspaper, writing in 2018, said this. It ran an article called "Loneliness is on its way to becoming Britain's most lethal condition." It went on to say it has reached epidemic proportions, where one in four people suffer from it. According to figures published by the Office of National Statistics, in 2018, 2.4 million British adults of all ages suffer from chronic loneliness. That number, combined with research highlighting the medical dangers posed by loneliness, could see the condition being recognised as the UK's most dangerous health condition. Now, that was before COVID, but it highlights just that this issue of loneliness is a really challenging one. And it's very different from what we were talking about last week, which was withdrawing to lonely places to get time with God and solitude with him. In fact, right at the beginning of the Bible itself, God acknowledges that loneliness is a problem. In the famous words of Genesis 2:18, we read this: it is not good for man to be alone. And if you're thinking, well, that's just a reference to marriage, well, many theologians see it as more than that. In fact, John Stott, a great theologian and writer, who himself was a single man, writes this. He says, aloneness is not the will of God, either in ordinary life or in the Christian life. People need fellowship. So what is fellowship? Well, it's a word we don't often use, but maybe one of the most famous places where it's used in quite a helpful way is in the book and the film Lord of the Rings, which I know many are familiar with. But if you're not, the Lord of the Rings is a trilogy of books, and the first book or the first film is called The Fellowship of the Ring. And it's wonderful. It's about this group of people or different sort of beings who come together to look out for one another and to go on a quest together, an adventure with a clear leader, Gandalf, leading them and guiding them on their way. And you know, this picture of koinonia, of that's the word, fellowship, this picture of the Greek word koinonia means to have something in common, to share something together. It's actually such a beautiful picture when you see it or when you experience it. Maybe you've experienced it. Maybe you can relate to some of those stories we were hearing in earlier in our live stream about communities. But maybe you haven't experienced, or maybe at the moment you aren't. And maybe actually you can relate with that feeling of loneliness, that ache for others, you know, to be lonely. Whether at home or at work or even sometimes at church in a crowd, is really not an easy thing at all. And I want to talk today about why we can sometimes feel like that and how we can overcome it. You know, we're in times when a lot of people all across the world are asking, what does church look like in a pandemic? What does church look like in a pandemic? You know, churches can be known for all kinds of things, for their worship or their preaching, their kids' work, their buildings, even their miracles. But, you know, without love, all of those things are as nothing. Jesus says here in our passage, John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. What is the key mark that Jesus says should be the mark of his people? And it's this: love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You know, many things could be said to be marks of a disciple, but Jesus says the mark is our love for one another. One of the values that we have as we seek to raise the next generation, that vision that God's given us, is to help them become the people that we feel God's called us to be as a church. And one of those values is to do everything in love. And I'm so thankful for the many places and ways I see that happening in church life, but I'm also so aware that it is something that we keep needing to grow in. I'm so aware, even in my own life, of my desire to live a life of love, but those times too when I fall short of that. And I found preparing this message and reflecting on these verses deeply challenging again, and long that we as a church and that I would grow to keep being those who live lives of love, loving one another. And I'm so aware that even as you hear stories in this service of where that's happening, and it's wonderful to be part of a church where that is our desire and where there are some stories like that, I'm aware too that there can be a tension, because that's not always everyone's experience. And I'm so sorry if that has not been your experience. So how do we grow in our love for one another? How do we do that even this week as we think about this spiritual discipline of fellowship, of being together? Well, the phrase love one another clearly has within it the sense of at least one other person. You can't one another without another one. Let me say that again. You can't one another without another one. And so here is my first bit of practical advice as we try to grow in loving one another. Start with one. Start with one. It is all too easy to feel overwhelmed sometimes by the many people around us, the many needs that there may be. And Jesus knows what it is to be human and the limits we have as humans. So don't let the many paralyze you. Rather, keep thinking about how do you start with one. You know, it is amazing the impact that just loving one person can have on your life as well as on theirs. There's a film called Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood, where he plays this grumpy widower who's lonely and angry with the world, and just kind of really person who doesn't have any friends anymore, and just, you know, someone who really is quite frustrated with everything around him. Even his neighbors wind him up so much. I wonder, maybe you can relate even to that at times. Angry with the world, angry with your neighbors. But, you know, something amazing happens in this film. Clint Eastwood starts by being so fed up and cross with his neighbors, but one of the boys in the house next door just kind of keeps hanging around him and doing things with him, even though he doesn't want him to. And slowly, Clint Eastwood starts helping this kid. And this kid actually starts helping Clint Eastwood, even though he doesn't realize. And they end up transforming each other's life. It's a challenge. It's not all smooth. It's a real struggle, particularly for this grumpy old man to start loving this kid next door. But it transforms both their lives just by helping one other person. And you know, even Jesus, as he lived on this earth, loved and served and helped others mostly one at a time. Just before that meal that Max read out for us, that Last Supper, actually Jesus, we read at the beginning of John 13, washed his disciples' feet, and he would have done that one at a time, one person at a time. And it's amazing how that teaches us something of how we can start loving others. Rick Warren, a pastor in the US, has written a famous book called The Purpose-Driven Life. I know many of us in the church have read it. And in it, he has this great little line. He says this: when it comes to fellowship, size matters. And then he says this: smaller is better. Smaller is better. You know, there's something wonderful about just being with one other person, even if there is not many of you, just maybe a few. And these times of COVID, as we've been hearing, have been challenging us because we haven't been able to gather in large groups as we would usually do. And, you know, these COVID regulations are likely to be around for a while. And so what can we take from this? And one of the things maybe is to seize the opportunity to challenge our preconceptions that bigger is always better, and to recapture the value and the preciousness of smaller gatherings, even just gatherings and times with one other person. You know, times when we can develop real friendships, real sense of family, times when we can really press into those community groups and our friendships within those groups. You know, our vision for our community groups at Holland Road, our vision as a church is that our communities would be like extended families where people of all ages and backgrounds come together to have fun, to eat, to pray, and to get into God's word, to share things and do mission together. And if you want to grow in your faith and meet new people, as Ruben and Becca were saying earlier, then joining a community is one of the best ways that you can do that. There is such joy in fellowship. And particularly as we start our week of prayer and fasting, I want to say what a joy it is to pray with others. It's not always easy praying. It takes a discipline, a protection, as we were hearing last week, from sometimes distractions. And one of the things that can help us in our praying, as well as praying on our own and really pressing into that and making time for it, is to actually get time to pray with others. And there's going to be lots of opportunities to do that this week. And I'll share more about that in a moment. But for now, I want to say this: don't miss even those times when you can just pray with one other person. Maybe it's your flatmate. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's your spouse or a colleague at work. Maybe it's a child or a parent or someone over the phone. Don't miss the power of simply praying together with someone. You know, Jesus says that even when two or three come together in his name, there he is in our presence. Never think that this is too small a gathering to be effective. If you're with one other person, start there and God will meet with you. So, loving one another, start with one other person. And secondly, I just want to practically say that love isn't a theory. It's an action. It's something that we do. It's actually about giving and making sacrifices. That's the Bible's picture of love. It's not about what we give, it's about what we give. It's not about what we get, it's about what we give. So start with giving. And here's just something simple that you can start with, but it can be very profound. Give your time. Start with one person, but start with giving them your time. Rick Warren goes on in that book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and he says this: the best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is now. And he goes on and says that the most desired gift of love is not diamonds, roses, or chocolates, but focused attention. Love concentrates so intently on another that you forget yourself at that moment. When you give your time, you are making a sacrifice, and sacrifice is the essence of love. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of an advert when I was younger for, you know what these are? Rolo chocolates. And if you're my kind of age, and I'm showing my age a bit here, you might remember an advert where they talked about, would you give your last Rolo to someone? It was this little kind of sort of strap line: do you love anyone enough to give them your last Rolo? And I was thinking about that in relation to time, because, you know, so often I think it can feel like when we give our time, we kind of know that we're not going to get that bit of time back. You know, time is one of those things that it goes. And so sometimes we can be tempted to kind of hold on in a selfish way to our time. But let me tell you a secret. Time when you hold on to it is not nearly as precious as time when you give it. And when you give away time, it's actually then that something special and wonderful happens, not just for the other person, but for you. You know, many times we have heard or read, and it's becoming much more out there in public knowledge. If I go into my my GP surgery, they will have this on the board that one of the things you can do to help your well-being is to care for someone else, even to care for something else, like a pet. It's amazing what that does for your mental health. I love the way Rob and Carol, as they were sharing about their community, used this little acronym of JOY, J-O-Y. And my kids one time came back from their group at church with this on a bookmark. It just said, Jesus, others, you. If you give Jesus your time, and then think about how you can give others your time, and then think about what you can do put yourself at the end. Actually, it's amazing how that helps you grow, because actually that's the way that life is meant to be lived. It brings joy. It's not always easy, but actually it is the best thing for us to, as we were hearing last week, make time for Jesus, and then this week make time for others. So this week, I know that as we think about praying together, there will be a great blessing that comes into your life as you move towards others to pray with them. And here's just a bunch of ways you can do that this week. They're all on our website, and the link is just at the bottom of the tab there. But there's this prayer night tonight where we're going to be praying for those starting a new term. Join us at 7:30. All the details of how you can get on that prayer Zoom link are online. And then there's every morning at 7 a.m. there's going to be opportunities to pray. Start the day in prayer. There's time to be led by one of our elders. And then there's going to be a day of prayer on Wednesday. Again, you can come and connect with that on Zoom. And there's going to be different hour slots focusing on different issues for our city. And then, as Becca was saying, next weekend, we have this opportunity to prayer walk our city. There's going to be loads of groups all across our city prayer walking at different times. Find one that works for you. Again, you can sign up using that link at the bottom of the screen. And here's Emma just sharing a story of what it was like for her going prayer walking, and I'll let her explain.
Hello. I love to prayer walk, and I often pray as I walk. But I suppose one of the first times that I intentionally went on a prayer walk was when I was on a short-term mission trip with some other Holland Raiders in 2019. We identified what we felt was a strategic area in the city we were in, and then we identified a verse that we could use to pray to declare Jesus' authority over that place. And we walked around the area praying the verse, and as we prayed, we paid attention to the people who were around us, and we prayed for them too, because we know that praying for people is one of the kindest things that you can do to bring them into the presence of a loving God. Is one of the kindest things that you can do for them. And it felt to me like what we were praying had an impact beyond what we saw on that day. And in fact, I can still remember some of the people that we prayed for on that day.
So maybe you've never gone like Emma on a prayer walk. But I would really encourage you, do go along. I'd love this to be something that all of us get involved with. There'll even be a virtual opportunity if you can't come physically and meet in person. And though many of our community groups are leading those prayer walks, you don't have to be part of a community or even join your own community prayer walk. If that timing doesn't work best for you, do sign up for another one. But, you know, there is something about this joy of being with others which actually does come by having to give our time, to make sacrifices. And so often, as we take time to be with others, we hear needs and we see needs that actually we then are led by God's Spirit to respond to. And it is at this that so often we start to realize that love is costly. Love is often painful. Love hurts as we get involved in messy lives. And let's be honest, all of our lives are messy. And like Jesus stooping down and washing the disciples' feet after that, he got up and then took this bread because he came into the world to show us something. And that was that he wasn't just wanting to give us his time as he was doing with those disciples, but he took the bread. And later in the service, we're going to, in our worship room, we're going to do this. But we're going to break bread because Jesus took bread and he broke it saying, this is my body given for you. And he took a cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood poured out for you. His life was be willing to be poured out for us. And this meal of communion, this meal that has been celebrated all around the world, reminds us of something so important about Jesus and something so important about us that I want us to end. The first thing that it reminds us about Jesus is his amazing love for you and I. Jesus loved you and me enough to die for us. And he died for us because we needed help. We needed rescuing. We, like the boy at the end of the Gran Torino film, and it's an old film, so spoiler alert, we get into all this trouble, and the boy was facing this immense trouble that could even potentially have cost him his life. And yet Clint Eastwood came and was willing to take the place of the boy and die in his place, giving the boy a new life. And Jesus has done that for you and for me. He has died in our place so that we could have a new life, so that we could know our sins forgiven, the times when we haven't loved as we should, wiped clean and a fresh start. That boy, the end of that film, he had this sort of fresh beginning. A new life was given to him because of what Clint Eastwood had done. And even far, far more, there's a fresh new life that you and I can have because of what Jesus has done for us. A new life of love. And this meal, again, reminds us not just of what Jesus has done for us, but of how it reminds us that you and I all need his grace, his love. We all need that new start. We all need that forgiveness, and we all need his power, his strength to keep loving one another. And so I want to encourage you as we come to this end of this time to receive again God's love for you, God's grace for your life, receive his power, so that you can live a life of love, starting with one and giving them their time and then moving on from there as the Lord leads. And as God's love flows into your life, God's love will flow out of your life. So let's do those two things now in prayer. And I encourage you just simply maybe position yourself with your hands open like this to receive his love. And then let's commit to loving one another. And I've a simple prayer here on the screen, which I'd love you to echo with me. Let's bow our heads. Let's position ourselves to receive his love. We're talking to God. He's there with you and me right now. So if you feel able, let's say this prayer together. You might even want to speak it out loud. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your life for us. Sorry for where I haven't loved you as I should. I receive your love. Help me to live a life of love. Particularly help me this week to start with one person who I can give my time and attention to and lead me on from there. And please fill me with your spirit. And guide me to the people I can pray with next weekend and to those I can have deeper fellowship with. In Jesus' name, amen.